In the name of God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. Amen. Seated, please. Last Monday morning, our nation gathered on the steps of the Capitol building to witness the swearing-in of our president for another 4 years of office. Following the ceremony, he gave a speech, and that inspired some, no doubt, and disappointed others, I'm sure. The presidential inaugural speech is a practice that stretches all the way back to George Washington, of course. Unlike some speeches, Washington's was brief, or at least his second one is said to be, brief and to the point. And as with all inaugural since, at that time, he articulated a vision for his administration and the nation for the next 4 years. Well, I'd like to suggest to you that this morning's gospel is exactly that kind of moment. As Luke tells it, this is Jesus' inaugural, his keynote address, the beginning of his ministry, the moment which everything that is to come begins to take shape. Having been baptized by Jesus, or by John, Jesus moves immediately into the wilderness, where he fasts and prays. And at the end of 40 days, he's tempted by Satan, a temptation that he overcomes, it's said, with flying colors. And now he's ready to begin. From the wilderness, he returns to his hometown of Nazareth, where on the Sabbath he goes to the synagogue. He stands and reads, and as luck would have it, the scroll contains the prophecy of Isaiah. And unrolling it, he turns to the passage that he seeks and reads the following to the assembled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let prisoners go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These words are in Luke's telling of this Jesus event, the inaugural. These words give voice to everything that is about to happen in the story that is to come. They describe the reason why Jesus was born. They describe his destiny. Unless we miss it, they describe nothing short of a revolution. Good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. All of these are marks of the new reign of God that Jesus announces at this very moment. But perhaps more significant are the words that follow those. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That phrase, the year of the Lord's favor, refers to the Jubilee year, a year mandated in the book of Leviticus. The Jubilee year was commanded to occur once every 50 years. And in the Jubilee year, those who had been sold into slavery because of poverty were to be set free. Land that had been leased or sold because of poverty was to be returned to its original owners. All debts were erased, and the land was given a rest from planting. Pay attention. The concept of the Jubilee is nothing short of revolutionary. It's a year when all the financial and social clocks get reset back to midnight. It's a complete reversal of fortune for the poor. It's a redistribution of wealth unlike anything conceived at our time. In the pattern of life for the people of Israel, in each year of Jubilee, the playing field is completely leveled. Financial pyramids are flattened, all with a single stroke. Jesus proclaims the Jubilee. He announces that all has been forgiven. We have been set back to square one. We've been given a get out of jail free card. There's nothing that can, and there is nothing that will ever be held against us. That's the good news. We are, all of us, loved and accepted by God. There's more to it, though, because not only are our sins forgiven, but there are real world implications for this forgiveness, because Jubilee isn't a metaphor for God's loving mercy. Maybe some of you know that the word economics comes from the Greek word for household management. And the Jubilee is a reminder that God's household management has some very real and substantial and even radical economic implications. The Jubilee is a roadmap that leads to God's kingdom. And that's not a spiritual reality. God's kingdom, God's reign, is a very real and concrete manifestation of God's reign of justice and peace. Because the Jubilee really is about forgiveness, and not just forgiveness of sins, but real, honest-to-God forgiveness of debt, Jubilee is about the reversal of fortune. The playing field really does get leveled. Good news is really preached to the poor. Captives really are set free. Sight really is returned to the blind. And all of these are signs of God's kingdom, God's reign, God's economy, God's household. And all of this, forgiveness both spiritual and physical, all of this is the mission we've been given. Today, following the service, we'll gather for an annual meeting, a time for us to take stock of where we've been and to consider the paths that lie ahead of us. I know we live in a time when churches often struggle. Emmanuel actually is in far better shape than a lot of mainline churches. It doesn't mean, of course, that we're out without concern. We face our challenges of finance and facility. We also have experienced incredible generosity and have reason to celebrate how we are enabled through that generosity to fulfill the mission Jesus has given to us. So perhaps it's even essential that I remind you, as we go from this gathering into the dining hall, that when churches focus only on budgets and buildings, they can all too easily lose their way. After all, the closer the wagons get circled, the more it starts looking like water going down a drain. So I want you to remember that ultimately we're not here in order to balance a budget. We're not here only to elect vestry members and review the condition of our buildings. Budgets and buildings exist only for mission and service. And our mission is about as clear as it can be, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We have been appointed to bring good news to the poor. We have been sent to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Ours is the responsibility to set the oppressed free. We are the ones who will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Ours is a Jubilee mission. Ours is a task of working Jesus's work of leveling the playing field. to reach out and take hold of the hands of all who are in desperate need of both love and loaves. That's the work that was begun here over 145 years ago. That's the work that's been continued in this place each and every generation since. And now, that's the work that falls to us. Never forget that mission. Don't let your vision get so clouded by anxiety that you lose sight of the goal that we have been called to. Of course, it could be said, there's always business in running a railroad. But rails only exist to get you from point A to point B. And in this particular case, point B is nothing less than the kingdom of God. Amen.